Old Testament lesson comes from Deuteronomy 26, 1 through 11. When you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you for an inheritance and have taken possession of it and live in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground, which you harvest from your land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket, and you shall go to the place that the Lord your God will choose to make his name to dwell there. And you shall go to the priest who is in the office at that time and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand and set it down before the altar of the Lord your God. And you shall make response before the Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my father, and he went down into Egypt and sojourned there, few in number, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and populous. And the Egyptians treated us harshly and humiliated us and laid us on hard labor. Then we cried to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great deeds of terror, with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And behold, now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and worship before the Lord your God. And you shall rejoice in all the good that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house, you and the Levite and the sojourner who is among you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A New Testament lesson comes from Romans 10, verses 8 through 13. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you, then, will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You know, there are two fundamentally different conclusions we can come to after reading this story of Jesus being tempted by Satan. One conclusion leads to frustration and a sense of failure. The other conclusion leads to gratitude and peace. I'll explain. The temptation of Jesus raises a question. And the question is, does this story describe what we should do when tempted? Or does it describe what Jesus has done for us? In other words, is the purpose of this story to present an example for us to follow? So when we're tempted, we can ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? And then remember this story. Is that the primary purpose? Or is this first and foremost a story that simply describes what Jesus has already done on our behalf? Those are two fundamentally different ways to understand the story of the temptation of Jesus, and two fundamentally different ways to understand the Bible and our relationship with Jesus. Here's why I'm bringing this up. Many of you know that I was raised in a Lutheran church, but in my early 20s, I started going to a very large, non-denominational megachurch. I'd never been to a church like that in my life. And what really attracted me is what the pastor had to say. He treated the Bible as though it was a handbook for living, chock full of invaluable instruction on how to gain God's favor and blessing in life. I loved it. I craved it. Here's why. We were taught that if you were poor, God would make you rich. If you were sick, God would make you well. If you were unhappy, God would make you giddy with joy. And it was up to you. It was up to you. You had control. I like control. And all you had to do was follow the instructions, follow the principles found in God's Word. It was seductive. So, for example, today's gospel lesson, the temptation of Jesus, the takeaway, the conclusion from this piece of Scripture would be something like this. Jesus denied himself when tempted, and now he reigns in heaven at the right hand of God. So if you follow his example and resist temptation, you also will be richly rewarded, favored, and blessed by God. And not just in heaven, in this life too. That was the message. And the sermon would often refer back to the text in this way. It would offer some practical instruction on how to examine your life and find signs of gluttony, for example. So the lesson would be, because Jesus denied himself when tempted by not eating bread, if you have a problem with overeating, by learning to deny yourself like Jesus, you'll be blessed too. Or maybe your problem is greed. If that's the case, you'd listen carefully and learn to mimic Jesus when he refused Satan's offer to give him all the kingdoms of this world. Jesus refused to be greedy. And if you deny your greed, you'll be blessed too. That was the theme of the sermons. God will bless you abundantly in this life, but it's entirely up to you to take the steps needed to obtain the blessing. You're in the driver's seat, and it doesn't matter what sin bedevils you, just follow the law. That's the seductive part. It sounds so easy. The job of the church was to instruct you, to teach you the law, and tell you what steps you need to take to earn God's favor. I loved those sermons. I could not get enough. Just show me what to do, and I'll do it. I'll follow the law of God. I want God's blessing. I'll be like Jesus. I'll resist temptation. I can do this. So what's wrong with that? Well, here's my little secret. I couldn't do it. It turns out that St. Paul's description of himself in Romans 7 applies to me. The good I want to do, I don't do. And the evil I don't want to do, that's what I keep on doing. Here's what I'm getting at. When it comes to the story of the temptation of Jesus, presenting the story as an example for us to follow completely misses the point. The point of the story of Jesus' temptation is not that he resisted temptation to set an example for us. And if we follow the example, we'll be blessed. That's not the point. The point of the story is that Jesus was tempted to forget about us and live for himself. But Jesus refused to take the bait. Jesus resisted temptation and stayed true to his mission, which was to die as a sinless, atoning blood sacrifice for you and me. Jesus came to fulfill the law for us who are incapable of fulfilling it. He fulfilled the law in this instance by resisting Satan and keeping God's law in every detail. Read Matthew 5:17. He proved himself qualified to die for us and purchase eternal life for you and me. That's the point. And if we understand what's going on, we're not so much inspired to resist temptation like Jesus. Instead, we're overcome with gratitude. Grateful that Jesus resisted temptation for us. Us who fall prey to temptation on a regular basis. And we can be at peace, not because Jesus set an example for us, but because Jesus saved us. You see, the Bible isn't so much a handbook for living. It's much better described as the story of God redeeming you, saving you from the consequences of your own sinfulness. There's one more important issue I want to mention here. When the story of the temptation of Jesus is misrepresented as primarily an example to us of how we can resist temptation, that's trying to use the law to do the job of the gospel. And here's what I mean. To think you can gain God's favor or blessing or approval by keeping God's law is a joke, because it's just not in us to do it. Because we, all of us, you and I, are infected with a condition called sin. Sorry, but it's the truth. Read Romans 3 or Matthew 5 or 1 John 1:8, or the story of King David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel, or hundreds of other places in Scripture. Even look within yourself. People are sinful, all of us. And we receive God's favor and blessing not because we deserve it, but only because of His great mercy and compassion toward us. only because Jesus died as a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins. And that's the gospel, the good news of God's forgiveness. And it's the gospel, not the law, that saves us. You know, I learned that the hard way. I tried unsuccessfully to earn God's favor for a long time. Mostly I just pretended and tried to present myself in public as someone who was pious and saintly, all the while wondering why everyone else was holy, but I had to fake it. Eventually I figured it out. Everyone was faking it. What a relief after years of calling myself a Christian to actually step into the light of God's forgiveness and recognize that God loves me anyway. And finally, quit pretending to be someone I'm not. Even though I regularly fall prey to the temptations of Satan, Jesus never gave in to temptation. And that's what matters. That's the point here. Because your life today and your future tomorrow and into eternity are in His hands, not yours. He's got you. You're forgiven and loved by God. Even when you fall prey to temptation, so relax and be at peace. Amen.